well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Officially less than 1 week away from Election Day, and this is probably going to be the last non-election-related Cam and Company between now and, I don't know, we'll be talking about it after the election is over, too. So, for a while, we're going to be having AWR Hawkins of Breitbart join us on tomorrow's Bearing Arms Cam and Company, but today, I had the opportunity to sit down and spend some time with Sarah Joy Albrecht, the founder of Hold My Guns, which recently announced a strategic pause. So I wanted to find out from Sarah Joy what exactly that meant and what the future of Hold My Guns might look like. This is a great conversation and a great organization. So I would encourage you to take a look and a listen. And afterwards, stick around for today's Armed Citizen Story, our Good Deed of the Day, and a recidivist report as well. But right now, Sarah Joy Albrecht with Hold My Guns. Sarah Joy, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Cam.
One of my favorite people who I rarely get to see in person, and I hope that changes at some point soon. But so let's talk about this. Hold My Guns announcing a strategic pause a couple of days ago. So let's talk about what that means and what that doesn't mean. Okay, so first of all, is Hold My Guns going away?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We were very careful about thinking through that we want to be able to continue. But the two reasons why we did a strategic pause was, first of all, for funding. And second of all, because we actually accomplished our mission. And the mission was to bring a solution of voluntary firearm storage to FFLs. And that's been accomplished. In fact, the ATF put out a letter to all the FFLs in the United States in July of 2023, letting them know what the standards were for compliance. And so now any FFL is able to provide voluntary storage. And so what this strategic pause is going to allow us to do is And what it's doing is we're taking a break from some of our operations. Our 9 storage partners are going to continue to operate in 8 states. But what the pause will allow us to do is to kind of refocus and recalibrate. Our mission is not changing. We've always been a liberty-based mission that cares about self-governance and supporting fellow gun owners and making sure that they have a solution for voluntary firearm storage. But the message, now that this is something that any FFL can participate in, again, due to the heavy lifting that we did and that our attorney Joshua Prince has done, and through the just the way that we've done our outreach, people are aware of this. But what this will do is allow us to refocus on a message of something that sets apart Hold My Guns from all the other FFLs out there. And that is to remind people that we're liberty-based, that we do care about mental health, but we're not collaborating with big public health. We're not collaborating with government. Instead, we're staying focused on the audience of people who may want to use the service, who genuinely care about their rights being respected. It'll also allow us the opportunity to collaborate with like-minded organizations and businesses who want to support gun owners in a way that they know that their rights are going to be preserved. And so what's a really cool thing is, since we've announced this pause and the reasons behind it, it has brought out of the woodwork some wonderful people like Cheryl Todd from Pot of Gold Auctions, wanting to increase charity auctions for Hold My Guns, Boss Lock, who's a great biometric locking company, check them out. And also Dreamfinders, who donated time to revamp our website. So there are more people that have reached out as well. And I'm excited to see the future of Hold My Guns as we refocus and bring on new sponsors and new collaborators.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that this is a sort of a retooling of the mission. And again, as you say, you know, the primary objective, and how often, you know, I've been thinking about this, Sergio, how often can somebody who works in a particular issue, it really doesn't matter what that issue is, how often can they say, I achieved what I wanted to accomplish, right? It may not look exactly the way I thought it was going to look, but I've achieved that goal. And it's not just that you've achieved a marker, right? It's not just that you've, okay, now I met this checkpoint, now I got to go to the next checkpoint. When you started this, again, the idea that FFLs could, again, no questions asked, right? But if someone came in and said, hey, can you hold my guns for me for a little bit? Then an FFL would say, yeah, sure, no problem. And they would have that ability to do so. I mean, it kind of was a pipe dream, right? And now, as you say,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that was just, that wasn't really done. And now, right, whether it's hold my guns, you've got, you know, and you've got all of these other groups around the country that have sort of taken this idea. They've put their own spin on it. But we're seeing this, you know, in Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Gun Store Project. I've talked with John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this. Same idea, right? This is truly something that has had, I think, a huge impact. And again, it's just not that often that an activist or an advocate can say, all right, mission accomplished, right? There's always something else you got to do. And again, now we talk about retooling that message. Is when you think about the next chapter of Hold My Guns, what does that message look like to you when you're talking to FFLs? Is it still about, hey, you can do this, you can provide this service, and here's what you need to know about it? Is it outreach to customers that, hey, this is an option? Again, if you're going through a tough time, or you've got a family member who's struggling, or maybe you're just going out of town for a couple of weeks, you don't want to leave your guns unsecured. And then again, you talk about that liberty-minded focus. How much of this is, again, purely volunteerism, right? That you make that decision as a gun owner, as opposed to, you know, the red flag laws, as opposed to the government intervention. Have you thought about what that next message is going to be and what the focus is going to be going forward?
The next big message that goes out, again, we open the floodgates, and as someone put it sweetly, you can't stop the signal. It's like, Sarah, you did this, you can't stop the signal, which I think is a Firefly reference. I think it's from Serenity. Yeah. Anyway, my geek brain just went off there, but you can't stop the signal. And so now that it's out there and other groups can emulate it, again, the ATF put this message out there, like, here's what you need to do to be compliant. Then the message is going to be that, you know, that's great, but if you go to a Hold My Guns partner, it's a mark of distinction. There are gun shops that have very high customer service ratings. There are gun shops that love liberty and that are making sure that the references that, like, if someone says, you know, can I have some resources, that they're liberty-based and that the customers are can trust them. It is an opportunity for our gun shop partners to really elevate community involvement, something that we've always wanted to get more involved with, are to have, for example, like teams for like to do like Go Ruck events and things like that, and tactical games. And what we want to do is to really get the next step that I envision is to really get our gun shop partners involved with events that help people and collaborations like that help people to improve their mental health, their mental strength. I like the word mental strength and physical fitness. I want to increase the opportunities for the customers of those FFL partners to be able to do volunteer opportunities in the community, like serving food at a local food bank or beautifying the graves of veterans that are at a local cemetery. I want for gun owners to get more involved in a way that is wonderful for mental strength, wonderful for shoulder-to-shoulder conversations. I always think about people like my dad, who's a Vietnam veteran. He would probably never go to see a therapist. But if his local gun shop had someone to come in and talk about how they've overcome obstacles, particularly they're a fellow veteran, and there were service opportunities in the community, what a great day to promote mental strength and protective factors, something that my dad would gladly be part of. And I really want to elevate the gun shops with the help of our firearms community and our broader liberty community to set them up as just a hub of liberty and mental strength and physical strength. So that's how I see us being set apart, even though we can't stop the signal. There's also more work to be done. If people read the letter from the ATF, again, that came out in July of 2023, they talk about how, for example, NFA items that you have to reapply for your tax stamp in order to get them back. And so I think that there is an opportunity, especially because we're so strong about preserving rights and liberty, to push back on things like that, to push back on measures like, you know, 18 to 20 year old adults can't do a transfer of a pistol at a FFL. That means that they also can't use voluntary firearm storage through an FFL because you literally can't transfer it back to them. So we have an opportunity to continue to kind of push forward and say, if we genuinely care about the mental strength of gun owners, then we need to address some of the concerns that are gun control measures that actually create obstacles and do more harm than good. Same thing with bans on assault weapons and accessories. That means those items can't be stored. So my hope moving forward is instead of focusing on the big thing that we solved, now it frees us up to be able to, you know, okay, now we've established this. How can we continue to shine a light on how gun control actually causes more harm than good? And we can elevate, you know, things like defensive gun uses as well, and why it's important to address these things.
Absolutely. I like all of those ideas, Sarah. I do. I will say I especially like the idea of using these gun stores as that sort of community hub, right? Because look, I am now turned 50 in August. So I am now at that age where, you know, I am in that sort of demographic, right, where suicide risks increase for gun owners my age. This is not something that I am concerned about for me personally, but I am concerned for my friends. I'm concerned for my family. I'm concerned for my fellow gun owners. And you're right. The idea of sitting, you know, on a couch somewhere and talking to a therapist for an hour a week, that doesn't really appeal to me. But and every Thursday,
I don't want
to
shame people that do.
No, I don't either. I don't either, but it's not for me, right? But every Thursday night, I get together with a group of buddies and we have dinner at a friend's house. And most of the time, you know, we're just talking about random stuff. It's, you know, customers that they had to deal with, or, you know, just little things. But we had a, you know, one of our guys, his wife had a miscarriage. That was a week where we came together and we talked with him. He was the focus, right? There have been times where I've come to dinner and I've been stressed out because my wife's gone through a procedure or something else. And, you know, the laughs are still there. The jokes are still there. But it's also, are you okay? How you doing? What can I do to help, right? Having that support system, I think, is such a huge benefit for me. And I know as we get older, it's hard to find friends. Where do you go to make friends outside of work, church, the bar, maybe your sports league, right? It's tough. So the idea that these gun stores could be a place where, and again, I'm not just saying specifically for men, but where you could host in a friendly environment. Hey, Thursday nights, we get together at 7 o'clock. You know, if you want to be a part of this, no pressure, no big deal, but just know that you're welcome. You're invited. I think that could pay such huge dividends for, as you say, mental strength, right? Resilience. Because again, as you get older, man, life throws all kinds of shit at you. So it doesn't matter, right? I mean, you have to become resilient or else you can be overwhelmed. So I really love that idea of doing that. And again, with this liberty-minded focus, right? It's about self-empowerment. It's about you being in charge, not handing off your rights or your responsibilities to a third party or the federal government. So I got to say, I mean, I'm on board. I'll reach out to my local gun store. I love that idea. And I love the idea, again, of, as you say, now that you've seen the success, there are still some hurdles, right? Because of the existing gun laws that are on the books. So if we really want to help folks, and now that we are starting to see government stakeholders get involved, now that we are starting to see researchers, you know, the academics who support things like red flag laws say, OK, hey, you know what? This voluntary storage stuff, this is good, too. OK, fine. If you really believe that, Are you willing to step outside of your comfort zone and see the damage that is being done, or see the roadblocks that these laws put in place when it comes to things like voluntary storage and saving people's lives, right? So I got to say, Sarah Joy, you know, I have I wish that I could do more to help hold my guns. And I'm willing to do whatever I can to help hold my guns. I think it's a great organization. I think you are a wonderful person. All of the folks that I have had a chance to talk with who are involved with Hold My Guns, I have a great amount of respect for. So I'm glad to hear that this is a pause. This isn't hitting the stop button. I am excited to hear about the direction that you want to take this organization. And again, I'm ready to enlist. Let me know what I can do to help. Okay.
Okay. That's exciting. Thank you. I think encouraging different collaborators who might be interested in sponsoring some of those events at the local gun shops, that would be amazing. Volunteers, people who want to help to grow the mission, and just continuing with outreach and letting our community know that there are options for them and that they're not alone and that they don't have to compromise on their rights. And that in fact, if, you know, our personal response plan, which I talked about at Gun Rights Policy Conference, that's up on our website. That's a great place to start. If you go to holdmyguns.org, download the free personal response plan. It really helps people to be in the driver's seat and not just along for the ride. And part of this too is just reminding people, doesn't really matter who's in the White House. If you practice self-governance, you become ungovernable and you have your preferred resources right by your side, your protective factors. That's what we want to elevate. And we want to equip people to be able to do that.
Sarah Joy Albrecht with Hold My Guns. Thank you as always for coming on the show. And I look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you, Cam.
My thanks to Sarah Joy for joining us on the program, as well as for everything that she and the folks at Hold My Guns have been doing to help keep gun owners here without infringing on their rights. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. Let's start there with a story out of Wichita County, Texas. This is a disturbing story, by the way. Here's the headline. Sex offender's probation modified to include jail time because originally the sex offender's sentence did not include any jail time. Now, Heather Talcott was placed on 4 years probation 2 years ago on one of the six charges that she faced for having sexual improprieties with a 13-year-old boy. The other charges were all dismissed as part of a plea agreement. And again, she was placed on 4 years probation 2 years ago. Well, something must have happened, although KFDX doesn't say what led to the terms of her probation being modified. But a judge did order her to serve 15 days in jail in the new modification. The sentence began last Friday. Her probation terms also had been modified earlier to include a curfew on Halloween night. According to KFDX, the plea was for one count of sexual indecency with a child by exposure. Other counts of indecency by contact were dropped. In 2016, authorities said Talcott did nude dances in front of this 13-year-old boy, sat on his lap and made him touch her. Also had sex with a man in front of him. That man also took a plea that resulted in a suspended sentence. I get so angry thinking about that. First of all, we don't know when the victim came forward, right? But the trial took place well. The plea agreement was reached in 2022. And again, this was abuse, man. This was sexual abuse of a child. The fact that both of these offenders got away with probation, at least originally, is just sickening. And, you know, I 2 weeks in jail, I mean, I guess it's better than nothing, but far less than what I think these perpetrators deserve. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, because frankly, I don't want to talk about this one anymore. Muncie, Indiana. Intruder held at gunpoint after being found in Muncie home. Deputies say the headline, I mean, it's accurate, but it doesn't really tell the full story. So back on October 21st, I think it was October 21st, might have been October 20th. 14-year-old named Max Calhoun was dropped off at his home. He'd been staying with friends for a couple of days. His parents were on vacation for 2 weeks. And so Max's friend's dad, Justin Oliver, dropped Max off at the house. His parents were going to be home a couple hours later. And as Justin's driving away, all of a sudden Max comes running out of the house after him. And Justin can hear a dog barking. But that's weird because Max doesn't have a dog, and a dog wouldn't have been in the house that was empty for the past 2 weeks, right? Now, as it turns out, according to police, 33-year-old Kenneth Gregory Quilliton was inside the home, apparently had made himself at home. Justin Oliver, you know, parked his car, grabbed his gun, went inside, and discovered Quilliton there. Quilliton said, "Hey, I'm not dangerous." And Oliver said, "Well, you're trying to rob the place. So yeah, you're danger to me." Held Quilliton until sheriff's deputies arrived, took him into custody, at which point a deputy says that Quilliton tried to offer him $100 if he would drop the charges. So now Quilliton faces charges of bribery as well. Apparently, the Max's dad had had this brief conversation with Quilliton. Quilliton had expressed interest in buying something from Max Calhoun's father. And the father said, "Yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of time right now because we're about to go out of town for 2 weeks." Ooh, not a good thing to say. So Quilliton allegedly cased the home, realized, they really are gone, and then made his way inside, apparently with his dog, too. Ordered pizza. At one point, went up into the attic where the item supposedly was and then fell through the attic. Also accused of defecating in what was described as a decorative container, even though the home had plenty of working toilets. So, yeah, there should be, and I'm not one to really be in favor of like over-criminalizing things, but it really seems to me like there should be a separate charge for pooping in somebody's belongings. But residential entry, criminal mischief, and bribery, those are the charges that Kenneth Gregory Quilliton faces. Justin Oliver, again, holding him at gunpoint until deputies arrived, and also protecting that 14-year-old from the stranger in his home. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Officers in Millburn, New Jersey, who came to the aid of an elderly woman who was trapped in her burning home Sunday about 3 o'clock in the morning. This 83-year-old woman stuck inside. It was a passerby, just somebody driving down the road, saw the smoke and called 911. By the time police arrived at the home, they found two residents, a mother and daughter, who were outside the home, but they were told that the elderly woman was still trapped inside. According to Eyewitness News 7, despite the overwhelming smoke and heat, one of the responding officers crawled through the back of the home to find the woman. Officer Thomas Sweeney says she was laying down. It was more of a groan because she was in and out of consciousness because of the heavy smoke. So we had to get low, and I crawled about 8 to 10 feet to find her, and then we pulled her to the back door. Thomas Sweeney had been on the force for just 4 months there in Millburn, New Jersey, with the help of two other officers, Officer David Frisch and Officer Steve Nassim. They carried the woman to safety, administered first aid. She, as well as the other two residents of the home, all taken to the hospital. The 83-year-old did suffer burns, as well as smoke inhalation, according to a neighbor who went to visit her. But she is still alive today, thanks to the actions of Officer Sweeney, Officer Nassim, and Officer Frisch, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing to save this 83-year-old woman. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Gammon Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program. As always, looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. We're going to be talking, yes, about the 2024 election with Dr. A.W.R. Hawkins from Breitbart News. A.W.R. and I go back a long way. We often appear together on Carl Higbee's show on Newsmax. So very pleased to have Dr. Hawkins coming back to Gammon Company. You can check that out again tomorrow. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. Legislation, litigation, regulation, it's all there. And, you know, the occasional armed story, armed citizen story for you as well. We've got more details on that story at Muncie, Alabama at Bearing Arms. All right, have a great rest of your Hump Day Wednesday. See you back here tomorrow. Until then, Be well. Be safe. And be free.